Just the thing that excites me about today is my hope that somebody's in here right now and they hear gift of righteousness. They're like, I don't know what that means. I don't really care what that is. And my hope is that you won't, there's somebody here right now that won't just get it up here, that they'll have a new life just here in the next few minutes. What am I talking about here, a new life? The gift of righteousness, we'll unpack it a little bit. It basically means righteousness is you do the right thing and you have the right relationship, right? So we probably all have had an experience where we did the wrong thing to somebody and we had a broken relationship with that person, right? And we can't control everybody else, even if we do the right thing, right? But normally, if you're doing right by other people, you have a pretty good relationship with other people. And always, if you do right by God, you have a good relationship with God. The problem is, if you were here last week, I told you a bunch of what a mess I am, right? You can go to the website. I won't put you through that all again, but Jake's a mess, right? And we can't do it on our own. You might understand, like, oh, if I treat God good, it's all going to go good. The problem is I just can't seem to do that, you know? So that's what we're going to be getting into, and there's some good news in the Bible we're going to get to. Before we get there, though, one more step on admitting where we're at. This next slide. John Ortberg, in a book called Steps, he's talking about the 12 steps of AA, but he says nobody's life is manageable. And anybody want to call out what's the first step in AA? Okay, I need one person to stand up and say it real loud. Sorry. Eric Gossi, will you stand up and say it real loud? No. Well, okay, yeah. Right here, Jesse, yeah. We're powerless of our addiction, our lives become unmanageable. Now, some of you are in here and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm really glad other people are able to do that. They need to do that, right? But whether you've ever struggled with alcohol or any other substance, we can't fix ourselves, right? Because maybe you don't struggle with alcohol, but you struggle with bitterness. And you just don't treat your family right. Or maybe you don't struggle with that. Maybe you just struggle with getting up and doing something with the strength that God's given you. Or maybe you use the strength that God's given you to hurt somebody weaker than you. And you just can't seem to not do that, right? At some point, when you really try to do the right thing over and over and over, you come to your limit of goodness, right? As a little kid, I told my mom one time, I acted really well at this big meeting as a little kid. And on the car ride home, she's like, why don't you do that all the time, Jake? And I said, I only have so much good in me, is what I told my mom, right? And like, it's true, right? Like, that was, I meant it. I wasn't trying to be funny. And it was like, I can't act that way all the time. You told me this is a big deal. I showed up, you know, like, but I can't do that all the time. And that's all of us, right? You try to treat your family right day in and day out, like it's not going to go good one of these days, right? And at some point, if you're really trying to do right by everybody, you realize, like, I'm not capable of managing even myself. And it might be outside stuff messes you up, right? There's evil stuff in this world, but it also is just on the inside. Like, I got enough problems inside. Even if everybody else was kind to me, I'd still mess stuff up, right? What do we do with that? Well, when I came in and I'm starting to talk about Jesus and that this gift of righteousness, and I'm hopeful somebody has a new life, some of you are like, man, you're going to be talking about Jesus and the Bible. Like, I got too many doubts and too many questions to have faith. But I want to tell you that, like, having some doubts, having some pain in your life does not mean that you can't have faith. And I'm going to mention somebody from the Old Testament here. A lot of people get down on Old Testament stuff. They feel like maybe God's mean or something. I don't know. They get some weird views, right? If you stick with Jesus, Jesus will teach you about God as Father. And one of the things he'll show you is a lot of beautiful stuff in the Old Testament, right? But there's a guy, Habakkuk. We're going to go to this next slide. Habakkuk is sad, right? This is before emo, like, music, but he is, like, a sad guy, right? And the reason he's sad is there's a bunch of messed up stuff going on in the world for him. And a lot of people he cares about are suffering. And it looks like they're going to keep suffering. And there's some evil, powerful people that are abusing other people. And I know none of us ever can conceive of that, right? That there'd be evil, powerful people in the world and they'd hurt other people, right? But Habakkuk saw that, right? And he had some questions for God. And sometimes we feel like, oh man, I got a lot of angry questions for God, but I better not come to church and bring them up. God wasn't offended by Habakkuk's honest questions, right? And Habakkuk, I say they're honest questions because he waited for a response. If you're mad at God, you're throwing a bunch of insults at God or questions at God, but you're not paying any attention to him, I mean, like, it's not really a conversation, right? Habakkuk had big complaints, but then he'd wait around and say, like, God, what are you going to say? Right? He didn't make it easy on God, right? Here's the crazy thing about Habakkuk. It's all these questions, right? All this, like, God, why would on earth would you do this? And God does talk to him. God doesn't wrap it up in a pretty Hallmark movie, though, or something, right? It's like, you know, things are rough, and they're going to get bad, and there's going to be some evil, powerful forces in this world. Like, that's part of what God talks to him about, right? And Habakkuk's talk, and God's talking to Habakkuk about how there's these evil people, they're puffed up, they're going to be violent. But God also talks to him about the righteous will live by faith. And Habakkuk gets this, like, nugget of truth from God that he writes down and he proclaims to some other people, right? He has this seed of something good in him because he's wrestled with God. And then you're like, well, what good is that, right? It didn't fix all the problems in his life. The good of it is Habakkuk wrote that down, and there's a guy named Paul who took a hold of that, and it inspired him as he's writing the book of Romans. And Paul then inspired a whole bunch of people through writing a bunch about Jesus, right? Like, a big reason why Christianity spread so much, it's all on Jesus, right? But Jesus used Paul a lot. And Paul got some inspiration from this guy with a whole bunch of doubt and questions, right? The beauty connected, right? It's not separate, right? The God of the Old Testament is not different than the God who's alive today, right? And Habakkuk helps draw a connection there. But today, the actual scripture we're going to go to is in Romans, right? We're going to talk about what Paul got from what Habakkuk said. So if you got a Bible, there's some in the pew right in front of you. If you don't got a Bible, it's our gift to you. If you don't have a Bible, like, take that home with you. Any Bible you see here that's not in somebody's hands, like, you can take it, right? So everyone else is, like, grabbing up their Bibles now, right? But grab a Bible. Romans 1, verse 16 is where we're going to start. So there's a table of contents right in the front of your Bible if you want to look there. If you haven't found it, you can buddy up next to a neighbor, look over their shoulder. It's an open book test, right, in life, right? It's not cheating. So Romans 1, 16, it's here on the screen as well. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We're going to stay here for a minute. I'll kind of define what he's talking about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. What is he talking about here? The gospel is good news that somebody would go and spread. A lot of times an emperor would think, like, I did something real good. We're going to go send a bunch of messengers throughout the empire, and they're going to share my gospel, right, that I did something great. But that political message, Christians have picked up on it, and, like, Jesus is the real deal, right? And the real good news gets summarized a lot, like the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the story that God loved us and all of our brokenness so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, right? He died on the cross for us. He rose again, that whoever believes in it will not perish but have eternal life, right? We find that in John chapter 3. We find it all over the Gospels, right? That basic story, right? The gospel is not that we fixed ourselves and not that the world didn't have any problems. It's that the world had major problems and we couldn't fix ourselves. And God loved us enough to come down and be with us, suffer right alongside of us, die, and rise again. And we don't even have to understand everything that's happened there to say, like, I know I need to be forgiven, and I know I need something more powerful than death. And that's what Jesus has on offer to us, right? The power of God is greater than death, right? It's to bring salvation. Everything that we see around us, right, it all decays. It all comes to nothing at some point. It turns into dirt, right? Like worms are eating it at some point, right? Jesus offers us hope beyond death. Salvation is his idea that you can't fix yourself, but Jesus can come in and make you into a good man, make you into a good woman. Somebody who can be a good dad, somebody who can be a good mom, somebody who can be a good worker, somebody who can be good to the homeless guy living down the street, right? Somebody who can be good to whoever in your life other people have a hard time being good to, right? He can change you like that on the inside, and then it can last forever. And God, who seems maybe really far away, or maybe you think he's mean, or whatever else you think or doubt about God, Jesus can show you what God's really like. the closest relationship that you're meant for, that you're wired for, that you'll never be content no matter how much stuff you get, it's your relationship with God. And Jesus opens the door, and he'll walk you step by step to him, right? It says first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. We're not going to get a ton into that, but this idea that, like, God showed up in a big way through Abraham and to his family, right? And made it real clear to them. Then Jesus opened the door for all of us, right? And we're going quick through that, but that's what that last little bit of the verse is. Then we're going to get to Habakkuk here in verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Like God's goodness, doing the right thing to have a right relationship. A righteousness that is by, what does it say? By faith, from the first to the last. That theme has come up a lot today, right? That Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, first to last. Here we have it again. It says, just as it is written, and this is quoting Habakkuk, right? Like the complaining doubter, but who listened and tried to hang on and have a relationship with God. The righteous will live by faith. So it doesn't say God's going to show up and make it all clear to you and you're not going to have to try. It doesn't say every question you got, God's going to answer it in a way that you like. It doesn't even say that he's going to answer it, right? It says that you can take a leap of faith and have a new life where you're doing the right thing and you have a right relationship with God. As long as we're breathing here on earth, Jesus is going to keep pushing us to do things that require faith. Like that's what we have to give to God, right? We don't have really anything to give to God except for our trust beyond what we can see. And think about that. If you got a friend who trusts in you even when it doesn't all make sense, that's a lot of love, right? And when it looks like you did something wrong and they trust you anyways, like, man, that guy really has some faith in me. You really feel like bonded to that person, right? Like that's on offer for us and God. God is going to hold back enough to where we get to jump into his arms. God's going to hold back just enough to where we get to jump into his arms, right? He's going to go the whole distance and then let us take the final jump, right? Now, he might say, like, why does he do that, right? Why does he leave a little bit to us? Why doesn't he just come down and make it happen? I don't have all the answers to that exactly, but I have a good story to tell you. It's also in the Steps book, but it's actually a story from Henry Nouwen. I've got a picture here of these trapeze artists, something I could never do, right? But Henry Nouwen was watching some trapeze artists do their thing, and he got to talk to them afterwards. They're super elite group, like really good at what they're doing. And everybody in the crowd is normally like ooh and awe over the person like flipping like crazy and not so like impressed with the catcher, right? Like the catcher feels like a sidekick, right? And a lot of things in life are like this, right? Like the flashy thing is not the important thing. Maybe in your life right now you're really concerned about something flashy and maybe that's not the important thing. But when Henry Allen talked to these guys that were actually doing it, they said, the flyer, that's what they call the guy like shooting around all over the place. The flyer does nothing, is what they told Henry Allen. The catcher does everything. And they said, actually, if the flyer tries to catch the catcher or does anything except just like stick their arms out, then they're going to mess it up. And they could break somebody, their own wrists or break the catcher's wrists. Like they could throw the whole thing off, right? Like their job is to fling themselves up in the air and then to just wait to be caught. The offer that Jesus has on hand for each one of us today is that if you'll go with him and jump up in the air and not be able to control where you're going to land, but you'll trust him, he'll catch you. You might have to leave your pride beside, right? You might have to let go of that footing because you're going to have to get up and say, Jesus, I need forgiveness for something, right? And you might have to let go of your self-hatred and your despair that you'll never be good enough and you don't deserve anything good, right? You probably have to let go of a whole bunch of stuff, right? You might have to move out of where you're living, right, and go somewhere that really hurts your pride, right? Probably some steps, right? There's some things you're going to have to do to flip through the air, right? And it might turn your stomach upside down. But you don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to fix the brokenness in your family. You don't have to fix any brokenness, right? You got to do what Jesus tells you to do and then trust that he's going to catch you and your whole life. My guess is right now you have some sort of idea what Jesus wants you to do. Whether you've never followed him before or whether you've been following him for 80 years, my guess is there's some faith that you could do that's the equivalent of like, Jesus, I'm trusting you to catch me. And it's your next move, right? The righteous will live by faith. It's not we get started by faith. It's that our whole life is by faith. Jesus wants Jesse to do something that's going to take faith. He can't see all the way there, right? He wants Maddox to do something that's going to take faith. And Chuck something that's going to take faith, right? Here's how we're going to end off in faith. If you're here and you're like, I've known Jesus for a while, I'm going to leave you on your own to figure out what's the next thing Jesus wants you to do, right? Because we got somebody else I want to talk to. If you're here today and you're like, I don't really know if I have that salvation that that verse is talking about. I don't really know what it's like to have Jesus telling me what to do. If you're here today and you're like, there's not been a time where I said, Jesus, I've messed up. I need forgiveness. Jesus, I want you to live inside of me and tell me what to do next. My life's unmanageable. I want you to take the wheel. If you've not done that before, I'm going to give you a chance here in just a second to say, like, talk me through it. I want to have a new life with Jesus. Now, that's intense, right? It takes a leap of faith to get up in front of a crowd of people and say, like, I need help, and I want Jesus' help. Why do we do it this way, right? Isn't there, like, a simpler way, a way that takes less courage where you could, like, do it differently, right? Well, I'll just be honest with you. Like, following Jesus, he's going to ask you to do stuff that you're not comfortable with. But he's going to help you when you do. So we're just going to start you that way, right? So it's uncomfortable to stand up in a room with people and say, I want Jesus and I need help getting there. But if you're there today, I want you to stand up right now. And I've got a couple ladies and a couple men that will take you right outside here and just talk you through. Where are you at? Do you want to have a relationship with God? So if you're here today and you're like, I want a new relationship with God. I've never had that before. I want to pray with somebody right now. I want you to stand up. Come on down front. Yeah, come on down if you're standing up. So we've got two guys and two ladies that I talked to just before service. Come on down. Yeah. So Daniel, if you come over here. So we'll do guys right here and ladies right here just to make it a little simpler. And guys, I'm going to have you guys come over here with Chase. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. How's this going to work at Maywood is we've got some Maywood folks that are going to go walk them out, give them a Gospel of John, talk them through how to have this relationship, how to keep it going. If you know somebody that's right up here right now, be praying for them and try to stay connected, right? Like, the way Christianity works is we do it together, right? So you guys can go out right now. You don't have to wait on me. You guys are important. You guys go. You get first out of here, right? So, praise Jesus, right? Last thing I'll say, I'm going to make a guess that most of you in here right now, you already know Jesus. You're like, man, isn't that cool? And if any of you are thinking, like, Jake has really got it working out, like, that's not the case. We were downstairs in class, and we were talking about this question about, like, one of the answers was, like, I feel afraid, and I don't feel like I'm good enough to do the thing to help the people. It was said even better than that, right? But that's basically what it said. And I was like, that's my answer. I don't feel up to do this stuff a lot of times, right? But what I will say is downstairs we had Joseph, who's an Eagle Scout, right? We had Joseph lead everybody downstairs praying for everybody in this room today that somebody would get new life, right? So, like, you don't have to be strong yourself. You got to declare Jesus came to save people. Jesus is real. Do you want a relationship with him? And then ask somebody else to pray for you. Like, that's all I know, but it can work, right? So this week, if you want to have this sort of experience, you don't have to be magic. You got to declare something about Jesus and then ask some other people to pray for you, okay? Let's close out in prayer. Thank God for what he's doing, right? So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you the scouts are here today. Jesus, I thank you for every one of those folks who stood up and had the courage to say, I want a new relationship with you. Jesus, help us to be faithful to you, to be a good church family to them. And I pray you would be their good shepherd. You would bring them all the way through to righteousness, the full connection with you and your Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing here at Maywood. In your name we pray. Amen.